Lord called for the churches, saying, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is the last time in the book of Revelation that the church is mentioned, until you get to chapter 22, verse 17. At that point, the church becomes an issue again. And so from chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through the last chapter 22, verse 17, the church is not mentioned. And there's a reason for that. Because the first chapter, where John was on the Isle of Patmos, was past tense. He was telling us what happened there. The verbiage is all past tense. Chapters 2 and 3 are present tense. Those are the things that are going on today, going on in John's time, and he was seeing into the future what the church would become. Now as we come to chapter 4, there's a change. John no longer sees things from earth. Let's look at that, Revelation 4:1. John writes, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And so John is about to move out of the realm of present time to future time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further into the Word. Father, we thank you for giving us your Word, for giving it to us in a language we can understand. And then, Father, we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to help us to understand your Word. And Father, for your Holy Spirit who helps us to exercise our faith, to make application of your word where it is appropriate. And so tonight, Father, as we study your word, we ask that the Holy Spirit will open our minds, our hearts, and that your will might be done in each life and each heart. And Father, that Jesus Christ be glorified. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. John, when he closes out writing the third chapter, between the last verse in the third chapter and the first verse in the fourth chapter, the rapture takes place. And that is what we are all waiting for right now. We are waiting for that moment when God tells Jesus, okay, son, go get him. And we are all called from this life to meet Jesus in the air as his disciples saw him go in the second chapter of Acts. And we are going to join him in the air. And the Bible tells us, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, turn over for just a minute to the book of Thessalonians. That tells us about the event. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us about this event that we are waiting for. This event could take place tonight. I don't expect it. I've already been thinking about what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow. But we all know it could take place tonight. And just think of how disappointed all your enemies would be if you weren't around tomorrow morning for them to pick on. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Folks, when Jesus comes back for his church, we will never again be separated from him. We will be changed. We will be like him. We will see him as he is, and we will be like him. And that is what John saw here. It's amazing that he was able to write this before this event ever took place. You see, John thought he heard a trumpet talking to him. And as we read in Thessalonians chapter 4, that is part of Jesus' coming. With a shout, the voice of the archangel, come up hither. And the trump of God sounding the, not alarm, but the signal that it is started. The end is beginning. And that's what the Thessalonians tells us. John will be in a whole new environment. He's going to try and write things to us. He's going to try and describe things to us that he does not understand himself. And yes, he's writing under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, but he is still trying to give verbiage to things he has never experienced, things he's never seen. When you and I get our first glimpse of heaven and the throne of God and the throne of Jesus Christ and other thrones that will be there, and we'll look at them in just a few minutes. How would we describe that to somebody? How would we describe the color, the sound, the brightness? Can't do it. And so John is going to try and describe what he's seeing. And you have to understand that John is in a completely new environment. And he's going to try and describe things that are beyond description. Number one, he does not understand what he's seeing. Have you ever tried to describe to somebody an event or a thing? I just as recently as this evening, I was trying to share with somebody about the fountains at the Bellagio. It's so amazing. And yet I can't describe it. Well, that's what John's going to try and do for us. Paul tried to tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verses 14 through 16, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, till the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. John is in that light. John is experiencing that light so bright that he cannot comprehend. That was the closest that Paul could come explaining to Timothy as to what John is experiencing now. John has the same problem in verse 3, Revelation 4, verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. John goes on to tell us what else he sees. 24 thrones before the throne of God, with 24 men sitting in those 24 thrones. Who were those 24 men? 12 of them were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. One tribe you will find is missing. And when we come to chapter 7, we will see what tribe that is that's missing. But just imagine John there in heaven with Jesus in this vision. and he looks on these 24 thrones, and 12 of the thrones are the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he looks at the other 12 thrones, and there are the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, the ones that Jesus promised there would be a day when they would judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And John, looking at those 12, is one of them. Think about it. John is seeing himself there among those 12 tribes. Revelation 4:4 said, round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Can you imagine what John was seeing and what he was thinking? I would think that you and I would be dumbstruck. I really believe we would be, if we were seeing and hearing what John saw here at this moment, the moment we get to heaven. Verse 4 is a partial fulfillment of Matthew 19:28, when Jesus told his disciples, the 12 of them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So that explains who these 24 elders are. And of course, Judas is not one of them. Judas betrayed the Lord, and so Judas went out and hanged himself. He did not get to heaven. But God chose the 12th disciple, the 12th apostle, and that was the apostle Paul. And so Paul will be sitting there on these thrones. When we get to heaven, we will see them. They will be there, as John is describing it now. There's one thing that we want to consider about verse 5, Revelation 4:5. Let me read it. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And a lot of people have trouble with that. It is the seven spirits of God. There's only one Holy Spirit, that's correct. And that Holy Spirit is God. It's part of the Trinity. But there are seven spirits. God has seven spirits about him, other than the Holy Spirit. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. We want to investigate these last four words of this fifth chapter, when it refers to the seven spirits of God. Isaiah 11:2 tells us this. And the Spirit of the Lord, that's one, shall rest upon him. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about God. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's one. The spirit of wisdom, that's two. And understanding, that's three. The spirit of counsel, that's four. And might, that's five. The spirit of knowledge, that's six. And the fear of the Lord, that's seven. So you will find these seven spirits about God. You will find these seven spirits as part of the Holy Spirit. You want knowledge? It's already within you. You want understanding? It's already within you. You want counsel? God is there, and the Holy Spirit is there within you to to provide that counsel. You want strength for the day, strength for the moment, strength for the issue before you. God's Holy Spirit can provide that for you. And yet we look elsewhere because God wants to share this with us. So we have the seven spirits of God that are mentioned here in God's Word, here in this fourth chapter, verse 5. And you will see, actually they were mentioned in the first chapter. They're also mentioned here in the fifth chapter, and they will be mentioned one other time in the book of Revelation. The seven spirits of God, they are the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Each one has his particular form of work to do in the economy of God. So now, John goes on with his description of what he's seeing, including what seems to be very strange when it comes to the four beasts. Revelation 4, 6 through 8. Now remember, we're in heaven with John. He's explaining to us what's going on, what he's seeing. And in Revelation 4, verses 6 through 8, he says, "And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Do they sound strange? We can't picture it. We can't imagine it. And yet, even God wants us to understand, and he wants us to know. Isaiah spoke about the same four beasts. This is not new. What we're reading in the last book of the Bible was also presented to us in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. And Isaiah writing, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And Isaiah is talking about heaven here. Verse 2, "Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Well, as the four beasts give glory to God, the 24 elders sitting on the thrones in front of the throne of God fall down and cast their crowns before him. Which brings us to chapter 5. Chapter 5 begins the opening of the plan of God for all of the earth. The chapter shows God sitting upon his throne with a roll in his hand, and it's laying on his hand. They call it a little book, but it's actually a scroll, one that would be unrolled. And it has writing on both sides. It is also closed with seven seals, so that it cannot be opened until each seal is undone first. And until all seven seals are opened, the roll cannot be unrolled. And the fact that it is written on both sides means it is complete. Had it just been written on one side, it would not be complete. There would still be room for more on the other side. But both sides are filled. And God is sitting there with this roll in his hand. Now, the number seven is very significant. The number seven refers to completeness. It is a combination of two things. God is triune. There are three personalities to one God. The world, the number four, represents the world. So you take the world plus God, and you have the number seven, completeness. Without God, the world is not complete. It's just a world. But with God, it is complete. And so, as Jesus comes forward, first of all, John's reaction is, oh, he was so upset to see God sitting on his throne with this roll laying on his hand, and there was no man in heaven or in earth or in hell who could open the seals of the roll or the book. And so John cried. And in Revelation 5:6 says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. There it is again. The seven spirits of God. Sent forth unto all the earth. The lamb is also the seven, or the possessor of the seven spirits of God. And that identifies the Lamb as God. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is equal with the Father. He's equal with the Holy Spirit. That's who Jesus Christ is. Revelation 5:8. The first would be in Revelation 5, 8, verse 6. Revelation 5, 6, as I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne. Okay, the Lamb is also the possessor of the seven spirits. And there's that number seven again. So we have seven spirits of God. We have seven seals on the book. And as he begins to open these seven seals, we are going to see a whole series of sevens. Perfection. God accomplishing everything that God has wanted accomplished up to this point. The next verse that we want to look at is verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, and golden vials. Oh, okay, I jumped ahead a chapter. Let me reread this. I get excited about this book. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Chapter 8 is going to talk about some other seven things. But do you realize that every time you pray without sin in your heart, that that prayer is saved in a golden vial for this moment when Jesus begins to open the seals of the book? God saves our prayers. And when I say prayers without sin in our heart, We are told in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And those of you who are visiting and I don't realize it, I say that I quote this verse more and more and more, over and over and over, because so many Christians go to God in prayer knowing that they have sin in their heart. And God has said, Psalm 66:18, if, and the psalmist David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And all over this world tonight, Christians might be praying, but they may have unconfessed sin. And so God does not hear their prayers. But those prayers which are offered without sin, those prayers from Christians who have done as John, 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Those people, when they pray to God, God saves their prayer. It's in this gold vial that John is seeing. And it's going to be poured out as an offering to God and an offering to the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus comes forth, the elders fall down. The prayers of the saints are being poured out as an offering. Next is verse 10 here in 5th chapter. And there is the promise that we're going to live and reign with him on the earth. In Matthew 24, 6 through 14, it says, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes and diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deliver many, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Folks, in the first century, all known nations, all known languages, the gospel was preached to them. And ever since then, men have been going throughout the world preaching the gospel in languages that they have had to learn, in dialects that they have had to learn. And the whole world at this point has heard the gospel. At least every language, every dialect, every tribe has heard the gospel in one form or another. We have radio transmitted all over the world. There are missions that their job is to get radios out to the people. And they can hear on a little transistor radio the gospel being preached. We have television. We have men like Billy Graham when he had his crusades, and the whole world would watch. The gospel, folks, has gotten out. It's our job to put it out where we are, but it's been put out. There's nothing keeping Jesus from coming back, even tonight. I believe that the gospel has been preached throughout the world by radio and television and missionaries, so that almost every tongue and every people has heard the good news. So anytime we should be ready to hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the voice of Jesus Christ saying, come up hither. The last four verses of the chapter close out chapter 5. And let's read those. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I don't know if you're a mathematician, but what is 10,000 times 10,000? 100 million. That's a lot of angels. That's a lot of people praising God. That's a lot of voices saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So now, Jesus Christ walks over to God. And he reaches out and he takes that roll from his Father. And he prepares to start opening the seals of that book. What kind of a book do you think it was? What that actually is? It is God's plan for the redemption of the creation. For since the very beginning, when Satan interposed himself into the garden with Adam and Eve in the form of the serpent, God's plan has been thwarted. It has not been fulfilled. All of creation has been condemned. It is filled with sin. Man is filled with sin. Man has a sin nature that he was not created with, but which he took on when Eve and Adam sinned against God. And so ever since that day, things have been going downhill. When God created Adam and Eve, and he placed them there in that Garden of Eden, there was no death. There was no disease. There was no illness. Nobody ate anybody. That all came after the flood. Lions did not eat lambs. Lions did not eat people. God created everything. Remember what it said as we think about the creation for just a moment here, because this is a place to think about it. God has a role telling the world how he is going to redeem creation and bring it back to what it once was. And that is his intent. And that is what was written in that roll. And that is what John is about to see as Jesus Christ begins in chapter 6 to open the seals one at a time. And each time that Jesus opens a seal, there will be a different judgment come upon the earth. And we will begin to see that next Sunday night. No, I'm sorry. 2 weeks from tonight, when Connie and I get back. But every time he opens a seal, there will be seven forms of judgment come upon the earth. We have not seen the wrath of God. No one has seen the wrath of God, not yet. But we will see it in this book. We will see it poured out upon the earth. But for tonight, we will leave Jesus standing in heaven at the throne of God with a little book or the roll in his hand, getting ready, because he is the only one in all of the universe who is worthy, because he was the Lamb that was slain. He is the Son of God, our Messiah. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. As we continue to look into your word, Father, may we understand all that you are trying to tell us. May we see your plan, and Father, may we be a part of that plan. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. Thank you, Father, for each one who has come out tonight. Take each one to their destination safely and without incident. Bring us back at the appointed time, and Father, may we all gather together in your house if Jesus delays his coming. May our hearts be ready, and Father, we will praise you because you are the one who does all of the work. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions? Any comments? Everybody's ready? Okay. All right. 2 weeks from tonight, come back and start chapter 6. Thank you for being here tonight.